We are reading from the writings of Baal HaSulam, page 436, Introduction to the Book Panim Meirot U'Masbirot. You can send your questions to Kabla TV. Selected questions will be in the course of the lesson.
This introduction is very special. It's extremely important, very sharp, very deep, wide from end to end. It includes all of creation. It tells us about all the states that the soul goes through from the moment it was created to the moment it begins to realize its role. It's in the height, if I could say it, of the same height as the introduction to Tess. You know how powerful it is, how great it is. You'll see how special that introduction is. We typically don't come to study it right away, like all the introductions, because it's tough, it's difficult. You need preparation, you need some knowledge from all the other excerpts, other articles, in Pticha, and more, in order to digest it and not just to go through it superficially. I think we're ready for it. What I'm recommending is to take notes. There will be such things that are worthwhile to be written for each and every friend. Because what he's writing about, what he's talking about in item 1, will be referenced in item 11 and 14, and it doesn't matter. Meaning from the beginning to the end of that introduction, he is describing the entire process of creation. So these summaries that you do for each and every item is going to be extremely helpful for you later on. Think clearly before you ask. Don't just jump up with a question, but seriously. As is with all these texts from beginning to end, you have to finish, think about everything, then repeat, go over it again in order to understand the intention of the writer, his thoughts, and somehow to bring ourselves to the material. So, with God's help, let's go.
Introduction to the book Panim Meirot U'Masbirot, item 1. It is written at the end of the Okatsim, the Creator did not find a vessel that holds a blessing for Israel, but peace. As it is written, the Lord will give strength unto His people, the Lord will bless His people with peace. There is a lot to learn here. First, how did they prove that nothing is better for Israel than peace? Second, the text explicitly states that peace is the blessing itself, as it is written, given in strength and blessing in peace. According to them, it should have stated giving in peace. Third, why was this phrase written for the conclusion of the Mishnah? Also, we need to understand the meaning of the words peace, strength, and what they mean. To interpret this article in its true meaning, we must go by a long way, for the heart of sayers is too deep to search. The author of Afike Yehuda correctly interpreted the words of our sages about the verse, "Support me with raising cakes." Is laws. Caution me with apples is sayings. Our sages said that all the issues of the Torah and the mitzvah bear revealed and concealed, as it is written, apples of gold in setting of silver, a word filthy spoken. Indeed, the halachot are like grails of wine. When one gives one's friend a gift, a silver grail with wine, both the inside and the outside are important, because the grail has its own value, like the one inside it. The legends, however, are as apples whose interior is eaten and their exterior is thrown away, as the exterior is completely worthless. You find that all the worth and importance are only in the interior and the insides. So is the matter with the legends. The apparent sufficiently seems meaningless and worthless. However, the inner content concealed in the words is built solely on the bedrock of the wisdom of truth given to virtuous few. Thus far his words, with slight changes. Who would dare to extract it from the heart of the masses and scrutinize the ways, when their attainment is incomplete in both parts of the Torah, called Pshat, literal, and Drush, interpretation. In their view, the order of the four parts of the Torah, Pardes, begins with the Pshat, then the Drush, then the Remez, and in the end, the Sod, secret, is understood. However, it is written in the Vilna Gaon prayer book that the attainment begins with the Sod. After the Sod part of the Torah is attained, it is possible to attain the Drush and then the Remez. When one is granted complete knowledge of these three parts of the Torah, one is awarded the attainment of the Pshat of the Torah. It is written in Masechet Ta'anit, if one is rewarded, it becomes a potion of life to him. If he is not rewarded, it becomes a potion of death to him. Great merit is required in order to understand the pshat of the text, since first we must attain the three parts of the internality of the Torah, which the pshat robes. And the pshat will not be parsed. If one has not been rewarded with it, one needs great mercy so it will not become a potion of death for him. It is the opposite of the argument of the negligent in attaining the internality, who say to themselves, "We settle for attaining the pshat. If we attain that, we will be content." Their words can be compared to one who wishes to step on the fourth step without first stepping on the first three steps.
Questions?
אבל זה לא קשה, כן?
It's not too difficult, right? Tell me.
לא קשה.
Not too difficult, but what's the
התגובה הזאת?
What's with this reaction? Did you all fall asleep? Let's see.
We know that the name of the Creator,
good, that's good.
Also, he has many names.
There's nothing besides him. Merciful and graceful.
Peace is related to the quality, to the name of the Creator.
Yeah.
So how is it related here to a kli where the Creator blesses his people with peace?
In order to attain him, because we only talk about the attainment from the lower ones, we need to attain the concept of peace. Peace, wholeness, in Hebrew it's the same root, shalom, shalem, shlemut.
What Baal HaSulam wants to tell us in this item, what is the message of this item?
He is trying to tell you that there is the attainment of the Torah, which happens as usual in four phases, from the shorish, the root, to the last b'china, which is Dalet. We are in the root from the outset, because we are people, we have special qualities, we were prepared by the Creator through the shatterings, through everything that's happened after the shattering, the fall, and everything else. And then the reforming light is working on us and begins to scrutinize us, sort us, and that's how it moves us. So, to where? For what? So that we would attain Him. And in attaining the Creator, we have four phases, as usual, that we have to overcome, rise above them. Our avyut, our coarseness grows by the revelation of the shattering that preceded us as preparation, and by discovering the shattering, correspondingly we can demand, ask, support, assist our own correction, instead of the separation that appears, we can perform unity, connection. And from all these forces that appear to us in the broken vessel, in the various many ways of its shattering, different forces, different states, opposing states, and so on and so forth, gradually we reveal the one force there is now besides Him, and also increasingly that it is good who does good. In our understanding, in our feeling, meaning in His intention towards the creation, towards the creatures. In this attainment, we have four phases, four degrees, because we are inside the four b'chinot, four phases. And these four phases for the attainment of the upper force in complete way, they go from Shoresh, Aleph, Bet. Shoresh, you're already in the Shoresh, let's say. And then Aleph, Bet, Gimel, and Dalet. And it's written about it that these stages are called Pardes, an orchard, Pardes. So Pardes is seemingly just like when we count the four phases, Shorosh, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet. Shorosh is above everything, the root. And then when you begin to count from above, it's Pardes, which is an acronym for Pshat, Remez, Drash, Sod. But we attain it from below up, from Pchinat Dalet, in reflected light. That's why we attain it in the order of Sod, Drush, Remez, Pshat. And this is not so clear to people, because those who do not belong to the work of the Creator, they think that Pardes, then Pshat, the simple interpretation, if you don't study anything, you're already in Pshat, you already know what's going on. And Kabbalists are saying, no, Pshat, the simple explanation, is the last thing. That's why he brings to us what the Agra, the Vilna Gaon writes, and before him, other Kabbalists wrote about it, that the Pshat is the hardest thing to attain. It's the end, it's the peak of attainment, where for him there's only a simple light, there's nothing besides him, good who does good, he attains it in his vessels. But before that you have Sod, secret, Rush, the interpretation, Remez, which is an ascent in the degrees of attainment. Only the last stage is Pshat, the simple light, the Opashut. That includes all the lights, all the previous attainments. That's it. That's more or less. Of course, there's more things here. to delve into the item one. The introduction is pretty complex, deep, but it's good to pick into it. It opens the pathways in our head. Yes, Amnon?
He writes that in Masechet Ta'anit it says he was rewarded, it became for him the portion of life, and if he did not, it became a portion of death. So he should exert himself. Why merited? Why winning?
Does that depend on a person? It's like in a lottery. He won it, that's it. And?
But it seems to me that he should have exerted himself, and then he has the portion of life.
On that he will explain. There is the matter of the exertion, the labor. I labored and I found. I don't remember exactly where it's written, but we will be in it. Right next to it, you have labor and finding. I labored and I found, which is weird. According to the labor, there should be the reward.
It's written for me that this is the first article that Baal HaSulam ever wrote.
Yeah, because first he wrote his interpretation on Etz Chaim, Panim Mirot Umasbirot. And this is the introduction, this book. That's his first big composition.
And he says here that he uses this introduction with the language of halacha and agada.
Well, we'll learn later what he means. We will feel from what we learn the character, the nature of the introduction.
It's a bit weird that Baal HaSulam begins with a seemingly very simple sentence that peace is the vessel holding a blessing for Israel. And he says that the externality here, it's not so simple. You have to delve into it and understand what it means. So what is not clear here, because obviously peace is a blessing, is a vessel of blessing. So what else is needs to be explained here?
I don't know. Well, I noticed that from the half of the first page, I can't follow all your philosophizing, and I'm actually surprised how prepared you are for discussions, based on what? Let's see his attitude, his style. It's nevertheless, I give an introduction for this introduction, which is very special, very deep, very wide. So, it's a little bit more seriousness towards what we're doing. It's good that you're ready to stick your hands into it, but a bit more respect for this composition. Ask, but those who ask are asking now will have no right to ask later. You too. You're not preserving your rightful letter, your privilege to ask? Okay, ask. I'm happy to get rid of you now. This one first.
How come something so elementary as this understanding that you start from the secret and not from the pshat, from the literal, how come it is so concealed?
Because the perception is opposite to all the people of the world, between them and the Kabbalists. People of the world see, understand that what's ahead of them is what the Creator created, what He wants to create, a certain form of connection. Since why would He build the world, create the world? So we would relate nicely to one another and to the reality, or keep them. It's what the commandments, between a friend and a friend, between a man and the place, the Creator, His our life, nature around us. Let's do it. That's what the Creator is demanding. Nothing more than that. But it's written. We have to keep the mitzvot with the still, vegetative, inanimate, and with humans. We need everything that's written. You have nothing else to do besides that, and you live here. So whatever you do, that's what we need to do. No more.
But this is how we relate to the entire method, to the entire Torah.
So
what you start with, what you ended, that is the foundation. Even if a person knows that he understands nothing, that is not in the right direction, he should know what he starts with, what he ends with.
I don't get you. Of course nobody knows in this life, those who are living in this world, nobody knows where he is, how he lives. Nobody.
So I'm saying, okay, it's fine that they don't know that there's a complete concealment, but why is it complete opposite from the perception? Why to completely confuse people?
Through that you come to the truth. This is not right. This is a result of the shattering. A result. We also learn about it from the wisdom of Kabbalah. After the vessels are broken, shattered, they fall down below, they mix. Then their relationship, their perception on the lowest degree is us in this world. That's how we perceive reality, and we don't feel that there's a reality above it, because we lack the vessels for perception. Without vessels, you can't say anything. It's all concealed from you. That's one thing. And then the other thing is that you nevertheless acquire a certain Torah, although it's distorted, it's all, you know. But for the time being, like babies who are playing with something and they think that they're doing something great, and what the grown-ups are doing is, you know, they feel like doing it. The baby doesn't understand more than that. Hence, each one charges according to his own flaws. Don't say it's redundant. As a result of the shattering of the vessels, we need to be in those states of the shattering and try to do something from within those states. And without being in the state of shattering, you won't be able to re-establish these states towards the corrected state. So just to write it off is incorrect. Everything has, every form in reality, everything that appears, even in the broken vessels, has room, has importance, has laws that you have to relate to, even in the states of being in the deepest klipot. Even those states are necessary. Just to dismiss it, it's not a... We'll learn about this. We need to somehow reach some balance. Why did the Creator create? Well, first of all, there's nothing besides Him. Why did He create such states? Why do we have to go through it? Wait, how can you tell? This is called the Torah, dwells in the lower ones, and that's a very exalted thing. But specifically because you're included in such states, such lowly states, we later have the ability to rise and come to know the height of attainments in the ascent. It's only from that. No, say something. I want to get rid of you for now.
I forgot the entire Torah. And through
that introduction, a question.
He writes here, how did they prove that nothing is better for Israel than peace? The truth is, I'm also asking, how come? Perhaps you can help me. Perhaps you can tell me where from.
So that's the question? Okay. I don't know. I will learn.
I want you to tell me where from. How come?
I don't know. He's asking, what do you want from me? I don't understand you. You became so dense suddenly the author is asking you. What is he asking you? Where do we get such a proof or even the knowledge that the peace is the best thing for Israel, that the Creator wants to bless us in that? He's asking. He's asking the first line of the introduction. So probably by the end of the introduction we'll understand it.
Accordingly...
No. We're done. I see that it's already redundant.
Item 2. However, accordingly, we need to understand the great concealing applied in the interior of the Torah. As it is said in Masechet Chagiga, one does not learn Maaseh Bereshit in pairs and not the Merkava alone. Also, all the books at our disposal in this trade are sealed and blocked before the eyes of the masses. Only the few who are summoned by the Creator shall understand them, as they already understand the roots by themselves, and in reception from mouth to mouth. It is indeed surprising how the ways of wisdom and intelligence are denied of the people for whom it is their life and the length of their days. It is seemingly criminal offense, as about such our sages said in Midrash Rabbah Bereshit about Achaz, that he was called Achaz, meaning held, for he seized synagogues and seminaries, and this was his great iniquity. Also, it is a natural law that one is possessive concerning dispensing one's capital and property to others. However, is there anyone who is possessive concerning dispensing one's wisdom and intelligence to others? Quite the contrary. More than the calf wants to eat, the cow wants to feed. Especially when it comes to the law of the Creator and His wish. Indeed, we find such mysteries in the wisdom, even in the secular sages, in previous generations. In Rav Butril's introduction to his commentary on the Book of Creation, there is a text ascribed to Plato who warns his disciples as follows. Do not convey the wisdom unto one who knows not its merit. Aristotle too warned, do not convey the wisdom to the unworthy, lest it shall be robbed. He, Rav Butril, interprets that if a sage teaches wisdom to the unworthy, he robs the wisdom and destroys it. The secular sages of our time do not do so. On the contrary, they exert in expanding the gates of their sagacity to the entire crowd without any boundaries or conditions. Seemingly, they strongly disagree with the first sages who opened the doors of their wisdom to only a handful of virtuous few which they had found worthy, leaving the rest of the people fumbling the walls.
Meaning we have another question here. In addition to why are we born so limited, so dense, and we develop slowly, barely understanding where we are, additionally, it's concealed from us all this reality we're in. We have our world, even that is closed off. What do we truly understand about nature when we're in it? Nothing. And if we can attain something from nature, outside of my senses that I was born with, why is it not clear to me, even this world, what we discovered for the past several thousand years of existence on Earth? Why even these things, both Kabbalists and wise people, the sages of the nations of the world, those who attained these things compared to the rest, they said, don't open it up. don't discover. So people won't know anything. Let them remain animals. Why? And Kabbalists, that's certain that they used to conceal this wisdom from everyone. Where did they get the permission, the desire, the obligation? See, this and this and that, to conceal the wisdom. Why? How come? And the rest of the people, what? They'll live like animals? Was born, lived, matured, died. Born, lived, matured, died. Why? In such a way? From the wisdom of Kabbalah, from godliness, that they understand either the why wisdom, not Kabbalists, the sages of the world, those who discover nature, they say it's worthwhile, they say that everyone should know. And also Kabbalists tell them, where specifically from attaining the wisdom do they get such a knowledge? Such an idea that everyone says we shouldn't open this wisdom. And he's saying on the opposite, on the contrary, what's happened lately, that the past several hundred years, we see that everything is opening up. This is from the time of the Ari, actually. Both with respect to the matters of the wisdom of this world and the wisdom of Kabbalah. The sources of wisdom started to open up both for this world and the spiritual world for anyone who wishes to attain. So the question is, what happened in nature that such an inversion is happening? Suddenly, humanity that is in this world can understand, can attain the reason for its existence. Clear? Questions?
No.
Can you explain what is he talking about concealing the wisdom? A person can read the Zohar for 20 years and understand without a correction, not a single word. So what do you need to conceal? What does it mean to conceal?
It
depends on a person. It depends on a person. Baal Salam started studying in such a way that nobody explained anything to him. He started to read. You know, Kabbalah books are, we have them today. I remember the times where not a single book in the wisdom of Kabbalah was available for purchase in any bookstore. Zohar? No, it was always no. Baal Salam, definitely not all the other things. Agra, Ramchal, yes, but depends. There were those that yes, and those that no are not part of the sale.
This is concealment of the books in a simple way, or?
Yeah, even books were not allowed in the stores.
But he explains that there are four
Such thin, skinny books I would buy for $200-$300 in the Shabbat Square in Jerusalem. There was a store there in the basement.
The reason I'm asking is we know that there are four.
No, it doesn't matter. There's no argument. I told you. There was a period of concealment and now a period of revelation.
This is on a concealment only on the books with the language of Kabbalah?
There was concealment. He explains it to you on all the wisdoms, even the external wisdoms. Up to about the Middle Ages, say the times of the Ari, there was a general concealment. People lived, they knew nothing except for how to live as animals. And from the days of the Ari, things started to open up. Both the external wisdom and the wisdom of Kabbalah.
So I don't really understand, should there or shouldn't be conditions for students?
Which?
Before you reveal the wisdom to them.
No, no, it doesn't depend on a person. Rather, it depends on the time.
שביטלו את התנאים ש...
When they canceled, lifted the conditions of reveal or not reveal, and since then no one is measuring the students. Rather beforehand, they would take in special students, those who are versed in external wisdoms, as he writes, do not open up the wisdom to those who are aware of its merit. Also, many examinations were performed on the wisdom of Kabbalah, it seems, but today is not so much the case. The check was simple, a difficult, hard study, difficult conditions, not like today. Okay.
What's the connection between the preface of the wisdom of this world to the spiritual world, and should it always go together? If you open this world, you also have to open up the spiritual world.
Yeah, there are parallels, because the wisdoms of this world as well, why do we need them for? We need them only in order to discover the entire Pardes in a way that from the lower one, you may study the upper one. Therefore, you need some development in the wisdoms of this world, the natural wisdoms of nature. Let's go.
Item 3. Let me explain the matter. We distinguish 4 divisions in the speaking species, arranged in gradations, one atop the other. Those are the masses, the strong, the wealthy, and the sagacious. They are equal to the 4 degrees in the whole of reality, called 1, still, 2, vegetative, 3, animate, and 4, speaking. The still can deduce the 3 properties, vegetative, animate, and speaking, and we discern 3 values in the quantity of the force from the beneficial and the detrimental in them. The small force among them is the vegetative. The flora operates by attracting what is beneficial to it and rejecting the harmful in much the same way as humans and animals do. However, there is no individual sensation in it, but a collective force common to all types of plants in the world which affects this operation in them. Atop them is the animate. Each creature feels itself concerning attracting what is beneficial to it and rejecting the harmful. It follows that one animal equalizes in value to all the plants in reality. It is so because the force that distinguishes the beneficial from the detrimental in the entire vegetative is found in one creature in the animate, separated to its own authority. This sensing force in the animate is very limited in time and place, since the sensation does not operate at even the shortest distance outside its body. Also,
I'm asking to place your finger on the line in the book and follow each and every word with your finger.
Also, it does not feel anything outside its own time, meaning in the past or in the future, but only at the present moment. Atop them is the speaking, consisting of a feeling force and an intellectual force together. For this reason, its power is unlimited by time or place in attracting what is good for it and rejecting what is harmful to it, like the animate. This is so because of its science, which is a spiritual matter unlimited by time or place. One can learn about others wherever they are in the whole of reality and in the past and the future throughout the generations. It follows that the value of one person from the speaking equalizes with the value of all the forces in the vegetative and the animate in the whole of reality at that time and in all the past generations. This is so because its power encompasses them and contains them within its own self along with all their forces. This rule also applies to the four divisions in the human species, namely the masses, the strong, the wealthy, and the sages. Certainly, they all come from the masses, which are the first degree. As it is written, all are of the dust. It is certain that the whole merit of the dust and its very right to exist are according to the merit of the three virtues it induces, vegetative, animate, and speaking. Also, the merit of the masses corresponds to the properties they induce from them. Thus, they too connect in the shape of a human face. For this purpose, the Creator installed three.
Although they have no relation to humans, like animals, but the form is of a human.
For this purpose, the Creator installed three inclinations in the masses called envy, lust, and honor. Due to them, the masses develop degree by degree to induce a face of a whole man. The inclination for lust induces the wealthy. The selected among them have a strong desire and also lust. They excel in acquiring wealth, which is the first degree in the evolution of the masses. Like the vegetative degree in reality, they are governed by an alien force that deviates them to their inclination, as lust is an alien force in the human species borrowed from the animate. The inclination for honor induces the famous heroes from among them, who govern the synagogues, the town, etc. The most firmed will among them, which also have an inclination for honor, excel in obtaining dominion. These are the second degree in the evolution of the masses, similar to the animate degree in reality, whose operating force is present in their own essence, as we have said above. This is because the inclination for honor is unique to the human species, and along with it, the craving for governance, as it is written, "You have put all things under his feet." The inclination for envy elicits the sages from among them. As our sages said, author's envy increases wisdom. The strong-willed with an inclination for envy excel in acquiring wisdom and knowledge. It is like the speaking degree in reality, in which the operating force is not limited by time or place, but is collective and encompasses every item in the world throughout all times. Also, it is the nature of the fire of envy to be general, encompassing all times and the whole reality. This is because it is the conduct of envy. If one had not seen the object in one's friend's possession, the desire for it would not have awakened in one at all. You find that the sensation of absence is not for what one does not have, but for what one's friends have, who are the progeny of Adam and Eve throughout the generations. Thus, this force is unlimited and therefore fit for its sublime and elated role. Yet, those who remain without any merit, it is because they do not have a strong desire. Hence, all three above mentioned inclinations operate in them together in mixture. Sometimes they are lustful, sometimes envious, and sometimes they crave honor. Their desire breaks to pieces, and they are like children who crave everything they see and cannot attain anything. Hence, their value is like the straw and bran that remain after the flower. It is known that the beneficial force and the detrimental force go hand in hand. In other words, as much as something can benefit, so it can harm. Hence, since the force of one person is greater than all the beasts and the animals of all times, one's harmful force suppresses them all as well. Thus, as long as one does not merit one's degree in a way that one uses one's force only to do good, one needs careful watch so he does not acquire great amounts of the human level, which are wisdom and science. For this reason, the first sages hid the wisdom from the masses for fear of taking indecent disciples who would use the power of the wisdom to harm and damage. Those would break and destroy the entire world with their lust and beastly savageness, using men's great powers. When the generations have lessened and their sages themselves had started to crave both tables, meaning a good life for their corporality too, their views drew near to the masses. They traded with them and sold the wisdom as prostitutes for the price of a dog. Since then, the fortified wall that the first had exerted on has been ruined, and the masses have looted it. The savages have filled their hands with the force of men, seized the wisdom and tore it. Half was inherited by adulterers and half by murderers, and they have put it in eternal disgrace to this day.
Okay. How do you feel? What's up, Gershon?
Can it be that a Kabbalist loses his attempt in such a brute manner that he descends from his degree till he sells this wisdom to satisfy his corporal needs?
No, he's talking about the externals. You cannot sell the wisdom of Kabbalah. What will you do? You're going to make it into omens and remedies, because that's entirely in the force of bestowal.
When he writes here the sages of the generation,
yeah, he's talking about external sages. The wisdom of Kabbalah cannot be opened. You can sell only the external wisdom.
He writes here in the last paragraph, and after the generation has diminished and the sages themselves have started to crave both tables, so he's not talking here about Kabbalists?
No, try to sell what you know about the wisdom of Kabbalah. Do you have any buyers? Let alone if you were someone of attainment. Look what he writes, and who jumps at it? Even you barely does it. What's there to talk about? We still don't know about ourselves just how much we don't want it. But the use of external wisdom, physics, biology, zoology, chemistry, of course, because you can sell them. You see what's going on with the wisdom. How much we can extract from nature using all these external wisdoms. There's enough to do. There are always buyers there. because they immediately feel how beneficial they can be towards the goof.
He writes here, it is known that the beneficial and the detriment force go hand in hand. So what is he talking about here?
In general, in everything, from zero onwards, these two forces, beneficial and detrimental, they restrict one another.
And if someone rises in corrections, then his strength to...
You can't go up the corrections if you're not using the detrimental force and you're turning it into corrected force. Okay.
It says here that in order to attain the wisdom, a person need to have a strong desire, and then he can attain the wisdom. In the Ora Bahir, he explains that about a son and a slave, that the wisdom of Kabbalah is a godly wisdom. And because of that, it won't help a person if he has a strong desire, but he needs an awakening from above in order to attain it.
That's something to attain besides a strong will.
So why does he say here that one should have a strong desire in order to attain the wisdom? Why does he explain the desire, that a strong desire is a key?
It's a key, but the additional conditions that do not depend on a person, rather he has to please the upper force. So this is not enough. There are conditions like in math, a necessary condition, but not enough. I don't know how you say it in Hebrew. Right?
How come a person comes to a high degree in his development and in external wisdom and in the wisdom of Kabbalah, and then he begins to sell it and enjoy lesser degrees?
Where? I don't understand. He becomes professor in something. He sells his things as a service, physics, chemistry, whatever he has to the people.
But we say that a person is not Lord in his development. If a certain person had reached a certain degree.
We're not talking about spirituality.
Also not in spirituality.
If he can stay high up, if he acquired it in his mind, this is exertion in this world, and it's his, he acquired wisdom.
So how come he starts enjoying lesser degrees?
But you see it throughout all of history. From the Middle Ages onward, up to the Middle Ages, all the wisdoms were concealed, more or less, by the sages themselves, even in Europe, everywhere else, in the monasteries, they just wouldn't let it leave. To get into a university, which is inside the convent, to get into all those places, you have to really have to show yourself as a... First of all, that you are extremely religious. You have fear of the Creator, fear of God, external, but you are in it, and only then maybe they let you, they add this to learn, to all those things to acquire also in the wisdom. Otherwise, no.
Can it be that it also happens because he has to be integrated with lower levels, and this is why he's lowered from the height he had attained?
No, they don't bring him down. Newton, those other sages, even though it's close to us, they were extremely religious people. And what they've done is for the sake of exposing the actions of the Creator. That's how they were taught, and that was how their inner reality arranged, the constitution, the organization, an inner organization of a person. Where he does it only in order to expand the reach, the faith. So, the attitude towards the Creator, and of course that he saved it, kept it for himself. That's how it was. We can't really understand all, you know, this attitude, this approach. But it was exactly like that. And later it changed. Because the development started to break out of the boundaries of the typical reason, and only the wisdom of Kabbalah was concealed. It remained like that because you can't tell anything about it. You can't really sell it. There's no buyers. Even today, no one is buying. Regardless of how much you say, I'm capable of changing all of reality, ecology, economy, culture, education, I can prevent wars, I can bring you to a feeling of eternity, of spirituality. We don't need anything. That's it. Show us here and now, then we might agree. That's it. Therefore, even if you wanted to, you won't be able to sell anything you have. You're still paying, actually, for them to hear. That's how it is. Okay, whatever is clear is clear. We can't arrange these things in our head yet. We don't understand these inclinations, right? How the masses of the people are tied with the rich, the heroes, the sages, with the still vegetative and animate, with envy, lust, and honor. Now, the means, the things that cause a person to rise from the mass population, to heroes, to rich people, and to sages. Okay, it will fall into place, no problem.
First of all, it's a beautiful text.
The text is pretty. In the name of Baal HaSalam, I'm saying thank you.
It sounds as if he complains in this item, and I don't understand if he does and to whom.
I think we'll see it. You mean the attitude of the author?
When he's talking here about the external sages, it's not surprising that the egoistic people who are not Kabbalists are trying to make a profit.
Yeah, it talks about nature. What is man? Or wise ones, or even Kabbalists. Oh, these guys, those guys, they're all operated from above. Except some are operated from above, not knowing they are, these external sages, and the internal sages, meaning Kabbalists, know that they are operated from above. And they also, they can assist the awakening from above by themselves. So they give them a bit more and more, an area where they can discover their participation, but not more than that.
So how should we understand those words in the last paragraph, especially that they sell the wisdom in the cost of a prostitute to dogs?
That's not the Kabbalists. These are external sages.
So what is his complaint for external people who are egoistics?
Oh, there's no complaint. Creator is arranging all of reality like that. What, he doesn't know in advance? What do you mean? What can you complain about? Only if you don't understand the overall reality. If they created them in this way, and he opens up for them such an opportunity, then it's no wonder that they go and sell. Give me something to sell, I'll sell it too. If it appears above my vessels, I break through.
So why does he write the way he does?
It's writing about a fact. That's what happened. It's not what cannot happen in the wisdom of Kabbalah. Because on the one hand, nobody needs it. Even those who receive a yearning for it, receive it only to the extent that they have a machsom, a barrier, a screen, restriction, reflected light, to the extent that you are in order to bestow, you do it. And even if you would want it, when you feel, when you fall from this degree, and the minute you fall, wisdom departs from you, you have nothing to say. Here, it's, those vessels are different. Whereas in our world, no. Why not? Because it's possible that through all the technology and philosophy and everything that's developing, we should reach confusion and the fact that all these external wisdoms are not working in our benefit. The best would be if we would return, go back to living in caves and eating everything we can find on the ground and engage in the wisdom of Kabbalah, and we would develop only through that, only spirituality. But as a matter of accelerating the development, recognition of evil, that's why we also develop technologically, and through that we can get to know a bit faster our egoistic nature and yearn for connection, for correction. That's it. Material development is only in order to eventually yearn for the spiritual correction. That's the relationship to one another. Maybe we'll stop here. I don't know. I don't want you to. You want a little more, or what? Or something else? Questions, okay. Let's go with Tbilisi.
Hello, Rav. Please tell me, to continue the topic of selling the wisdom of Kabbalah, this is something we cannot do, or we are forbidden to do? Because many times we request, also in the Kiev group, after dissemination, someone comes, she was willing to buy.
Our website is open, our archive is open. What's the problem? Even not to sell, you can give it out freely, no problem. And where is all the maaser, the tithing, going to? Only to process the wisdom of Kabbalah comfortably and present it to everyone. What's the question then?
So the question is, I heard a few times before about such cases that someone says, I'm very, well, no, I cannot study in a campus, I'm willing to pay for private lessons, so can we accept such approaches?
Rabash used to do it. He had a few students known in the religious world, the Orthodox world. They wanted to study the wisdom of Kabbalah. And it was forbidden for them to appear as someone who studies the wisdom of Kabbalah, but they wanted to study. So he would take them in and teach them in private. Yeah, we had such a thing, and I would accompany them to him, see him. We had such cases. It's possible, but again, to a certain degree, because later they'll need a society. In order to begin attainment, they'll need a society. So even Rabash taught them up to a certain level, a certain time, and then he let them go. They understood, both him and the people who studied, that in order to enter more, you have to enter the wisdom of Kabbalah with everything you got, with your desire, not with the intellect only. Okay? Moscow.
Those degrees still vegetative, animate, and speaking. They are expressed in our world in accordance to the degrees of the still vegetative, animate, speaking in spirituality. What kind of a degree is it?
Speaking is men. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet. Still vegetative, animate, speaking. Or, if it's not in men, but it's in the people, the general population, it's called masses, heroes, wealthy, and sages, wise. And he explains further how they can change. That those are not permanent, fixed degrees. The degrees are fixed, but a person can move on them. Therefore, through envy, lust, and honor, he rises from the masses to the heroes, from heroes to wealthy, and from the wealthy to the wise. By envy, lust, and honor. You have four phases, four degrees, and three means between the degrees, between from 1 to 2, to the 3, and 3 to 4. That's what he explains.
Why do I have this question? Because it says that they were all like this. Also, people we usually compare to animate in this world, to animals in this world.
This is not animate degree. It relates to the will to receive in a person that is in order to receive and only thinking about itself. Because the degree of man in this world, when we say man, does not exist. The degree of man is the one who is similar to the Creator. That's why he's called Adam, Dome, similar to. So we have to understand these four phases. When we say the masses, heroes, wealthy, sages, they can be in people. And it can be also Shorosh Alef Bet Gimel Dalet is in internality. And the will to receive, that's in order to bestow. Depending on how are you ranking it, either in the externality of a person or his internality, but it's always according to the desire, corporeal desire or spiritual desire. Okay. Okay, Makviji.
We're saying that Kabbalists conceal this knowledge about the Creator. Where in that system is the Creator?
It's concealed. In this system, there is no Creator. The Creator is not present. The Creator is the reforming light, and that's how it appears. That's his strength, is power. You want the Creator to appear as an additional degree. Masses, the wealthy hero and the sages and the Creator. No. The Creator appears only as the force that advances humanity. In adhesion, when you come to the Creator, you're also not imagining yourself the Creator as a personality. Rather, you imagine your internality. You're corrected in internality because in it the Creator will appear. But it's not something external that you discover and you cleave to. There's no such thing.
You say no list.
USA, Northeast.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Rob. When you use the term Pardes, what exactly do you mean? What are we talking about when you use that terminology, the Pardes? Thank you.
Pardes, ani mitkaven leze shi
Pardes. The intention is that there are degrees. Shorosh Alef Bet Gimel Dalet. We have to climb up these degrees in attainment of godliness. It goes from the still to the vegetative, to the animate, to the speaking. And accordingly, in these states, you can read about the masses, the heroes, the wealthy, the sages, and those are 125 degrees, or five worlds. In its world, also 25 degrees, and so on. This, all of it is called Pardes. Meaning all the degrees to from this world to the world of Ein Sof are called Pardes. Because you come to discover the Creator there, who dwells in that Pardes, who fills it, who enlivens that Pardes, that orchard. His highest degree is called Garden of Eden, which is the light of Chochmah, called Eden, clothed in the light of Chassadim. That's how it is revealed. Then it's called Gan Eden, Garden of Eden. It's explained. There's nothing special about it. United VG2.
United VG2.
Hello, everyone. About the wisdom, it's clear that there are no buyers, but what about the simplicity where a person has no worries, no concerns, so that his child at school won't be offended, or that there will be no disasters in the world? What is it? You sell it, you give it as a gift, what do you do with it?
If a person has no other concerns in his life, it's a curse. And it means the Creator is rejecting him, does not want him. Then it just fills him to the top in this life, and it's done. A person falls asleep. He wants nothing. Just like us during the times of descent and fall, I just lie there. I'm sitting down. I want nothing. If the body's alive, it's alive. What else do you want from me? Maybe pass something. No, nothing. That's how it is. This is truly the lack of the spirit of life, death in spirituality and practically dead in corporeality. Need to fight it only through the environment, enter the society, start doing various actions with it. Doesn't matter what they're doing, as long as you are with them. And then you'll receive from them their desires and you'll go advance further. And it doesn't matter what kind of desire you will receive. If the society, the environment, studies the wisdom of Kabbalah, just do everything they do.
Вопрос, чего мы должны остерегаться, чтобы не навредить?
What do we need to be careful of in order not to harm the system?
For the time being, there is no problem of harming or not harming the system because we're not in the system. BBUK.
BBUK. Shomim, BBUK.
Do you hear us? BBUK. They say nothing.
Ну говори.
Не слышно?
We talk. We hear you talk.
Выключаю его.
Thank you, Rav. Two questions, if I may. First of all, it's written very beautifully. What does it mean that you rise from the steel to the vegetative to the animate? It all comes from the dust. What does it mean that it all comes from dust? What does it mean to go back to dust?
I cannot explain that right now. We will come to it. He explains to that later. But it's clear that everything comes from the dust. Each and every degree also begins from the level of dust.
Another question about envy, lust, and honor. It is as if, relatively to the still vegetative and animate, it is artificial, but for humans, for the speaking degree, envy, lust, and honor, this is the natural development in the speaking level.
You don't understand where there is envy, lust, and honor in the vegetative level. It exists in every form of the created being. In every form, you have these three tendencies, and everything grows using those tendencies.
It seems that there the instinctive is more is working more, and envy, this is something that we evoke.
With us, the same. Envy, lust, and honor works instinctively. Even if I don't want it, it will obligate me, it will work. Latin America too.
Latin America too.
Saludos, Rav. Saludos, Kli Olami.
Hello, Rav. Hello, World Kli. The question is, when we start studying the wisdom of Kabbalah, this is a general state of spirituality, or are there different states that every person is going through?
No, there are no different states. Everybody starts from the dust state. They know nothing. Los Angeles.
Good morning, Hav. Good morning, Worldly. The Hav was talking about, and we were reading about desire, that it is all desire. And we all know this, but is there a way for us to maintain this and always elevate this level of the desire pointing to bestow instead of self-reception?
We have to learn that. We also need to understand what it means to have a desire to bestow. For the time being, we don't have it in us. We don't have in us a desire to bestow. We need to want it, to have that desire to bestow, that will to bestow, and then to ask the Creator to replace our desire with a desire to bestow, and then use it to the extent that we receive it.
Spain.
Buenos días, Rap.
Buenos días.
Hello, Rap.
De los niveles del más héroe rico y sabido y sabios, el nivel de rico exactamente aquí.
Between the wealthy and the sages, the wise people, we understand the level of the sages in corporality, but what does it mean, the wealthy?
We will learn about it. You're starting to get into, it's only given us definitions. There are 4 degrees except for a view of Shorosh. There are 4 degrees in the development. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet. How they are referred to in the human species. And what is the trigger, the means by which we can go from degree to degree. So he's saying envy, lust, and honor. He doesn't explain exactly how it works with us. He just talks about it in general. That through envy, they extract from them the sages, and through honor, they extract the rich, and so on and so forth. And through lust, they extract from the masses of people. The riches, the rich ones. He also mixed things up a little bit. We'll see later. He writes one time like this, one time like that. We'll see why.
He writes here that it is known that the beneficial and the detrimental forces go hand in hand, meaning as much as it can be beneficial, it can be harmful. Can you give an example for what is a harmful envy in the ten or in our society? Is there such a thing?
Depending on how you use it. Either you want to bring the friend down because of this envy, or when you envy him, you raise yourself. So for awakening the envy in you, you might want to poison him and put him to death, or you bring him a gift. Depends on the result is awakening in you, but that depends on you only. Okay, we're not going to go further.
Yurik from Belgium is asking, what does it mean, panim meirot umasbirot?
That's what he's talking about, the revelation of the wisdom of Kabbalah, that he's trying to bring up in this book, the elucidate for a person and explain. Illuminate and elucidate in the revelation of the wisdom. You have chasadim and chokhmah. They both illuminate and elucidate. The person learns from that how to enter the new world and how to understand the new world.
Novosibirsk.
Доброго времени суток. Такой вопрос.
When you come to the recognition of evil, the recognition of evil helps acquiring what? A masach or what?
Recognition of evil doesn't let a person stay in one place because he recognizes his state as evil, as bad. And accordingly, he advances. Recognition of evil is a general indication. I feel bad in my current state. That's it. So it's possible that I feel bad because I can't steal. Maybe I feel bad because I think I can't love. You have all kinds. But I feel bad. In recognition of evil means that I don't want to remain in my current state. Okay, friends. We're done for now. We're also good. We'll continue tomorrow. We'll continue a little bit more tomorrow. Maybe you'll feel after a few lessons that you're full and you don't want anything more with that, and we'll come back to it later, because later this introduction becomes quite difficult. What are we doing next?
Moving on to the next part of the lesson.